This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and you are joining us for some local talk. Today is Tuesday, and we have the good fortune of having the mayor of Salem with us. Chuck Bennett is with us. There's a lot of things to talk about happening in the city, and as usual, here at KYKN, this is the place for your local initiatives, institutions, ideas, and individuals to hear what's going on in Marion and Polk County, Salem, and Kaiser. So many things in the news, things in education, things in the national news we're not going to talk about. But certainly things here in the city of Salem, there is news, both having to do with the city council and, of course, the residents and the new fees. Welcome, Mayor.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to see you guys again.
It's nice to have you. Yeah, so some things have happened since we last saw you. We just had a meeting, and they moved forward. You just had a council meeting.
Yeah, last night.
And they moved forward the approximate $8 per household fee, operations fee, that's going to stop the budget hole, or at least part of it, is the plan, right?
Yeah, last night city council took it up. It's a fee that'll appear on a line on people's utility bills, and it passed 6-3. The council split on this. Not obviously the majority is in favor of moving it forward. Myself, councilors Lewis and Nanke, really made a point. In fact, we had a vote on putting this out to the public for a vote at the next election in May, and that was turned down 6-3, and then it was decided to go ahead and just enact it. What happens now is the proposal moves forward to a first reading. It'll be an ordinance that would pass. And I would assume it'll stay about the same split on the city council to just enact it.
Okay, so if you're not familiar, to pass a new law or ordinance for a city, you're going to go through a first reading, which is the first time it's in a public meeting on the agenda where they introduce the ordinance. Sort of like a legislature would introduce the bill, but you introduce the ordinance. There's a second reading, and then there's the third and final where it can be enacted and put into law.
Yeah, it'd be a second reading. It'll go into effect after a second reading.
Okay.
And I anticipate it will move forward. We will be losing, or the majority on the council will be losing one of its votes, so it would probably go 5-3. But there'll be one more chance for the public to testify on it. On the evening that the first reading is held under public comment, they'd be allowed to get up for 3 minutes and give their opinion. There's no date set yet that I'm aware of for that first reading, but I would anticipate it sometime fairly soon.
Is there a draft of the proposed ordinance already?
It's online. All city council agendas are online, and you'd go to the city website, and it's look under public meetings, and you'd find a city council meeting, and there's an agenda, and part of the agenda from last night includes a copy of the ordinance.
Okay, so we already have the draft. It's not like the city attorney is starting from scratch.
No, it's it's ready to go.
Yeah,
it's done.
Okay, very interesting. 6-3 move forward without going to a vote. How about the turnout of people who expressed support or dissatisfaction with it?
There were about four people testified, I think I recall, from last night. Yeah. Maybe five, maybe six. I'm trying to remember, but it wasn't a big turnout on it. And it was about half and half.
Do you think that's an indication that Salem, you know, because between the printed media and here at KYKN, you know, people are getting informed about it. Do you think that it's indicative of that Salem understands and doesn't have objections to it? Or that people aren't paying attention and they'll object later.
Well, I think there's just a difficulty in Salem to really get the information out. It's a, I mean, we've got 170,000 people. We have one newspaper and then an online newspaper. Both of them have reported on it, but I don't know if folks are as aware of it as they probably will be if when it shows up on their bill, and there'll be, I think, a lot of questions. There's not been a tremendous amount, and this is part of my concern, not been a tremendous amount of outreach where there have been public meetings and public forums and really kind of enhanced discussions so people understand what's going on. And the council can determine if there's broad public support. I know a number of the councilors have been to their neighborhood groups, which are tend to be fairly small groups of people, and talked with them about it. Generally, it's based on information supplied to them by city councilors. I have heard a couple of those presentations. I'm concerned, and after listening to the debate last night, I really am genuinely concerned that the information that's out there is pretty confusing. It's pretty mixed.
In what way?
Well, it's the suggestion that somehow this relates specifically to public safety. These funds that would be collected by this fee are really to underpin the current budget. It does not really contemplate a really enhanced program. And so it sounds like, if you listen to some counselors talk about it, like this will be used to buy more firefighters, more police officers.
Mm-hmm. Like they're dedicated funds, which they won't be.
These are not dedicated funds. The proposal for a second issue, which is going to go to a vote if it proceeds, of a payroll tax will be dedicated to public safety, would be dedicated to adding police officers, et cetera. The current proposal, what it does is really, if the city doesn't find new revenue, it will have to make cuts beginning in about 2021, in a couple of years. It's often presented in the press like there's a deficit or a massive existing shortfall inside the city budget. What there is, the city is currently spending down its unexpended funds that occur from year to year. And the forecast is that by 2021, in order to maintain that what's called an ending fund balance, which are dollars used between sort of the end of the year and the collection of property taxes, needs to be enhanced.
Let's take a snapshot of that, folks, because sometimes your head
confusing.
Can start spinning when you talk about budgeting. Basically, the fiscal year ends at the end of June, and they don't start collecting property taxes till October, November.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the gap. That's why you have to have money in the bank to pay the rent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pay the employees
Savings.
And so forth.
Yeah.
So the end of the fiscal year, and you're not really getting new money, so you do have to end the year with some cash.
Well,
however,
or you
Mayor,
money.
It's
or
a matter of
money.
Terminology, is that there is a gap, there's a shortfall, I think is an appropriate word, between the level that you're spending by you, I mean the city of Salem.
Yeah.
The level that they're spending and how much they're bringing in. So
what they're anticipating to bring in. Remember,
a lot
of this is based on 5-year forecasts. And we have heard for many, many years that the forecast indicates it's always presented as we're going off the cliff. I've been involved in budgeting at the City of Salem as a budget committee member, city councilor, and mayor, and I've heard it every year during that entire period, we're 5 years from going off the cliff. So far, we haven't gone off the cliff, but there are some factors, I think, that are at work that have changed, and that's really highly increased PERS costs, as well as health care, And also, we are required by state law to negotiate labor contracts with the city employees, and we have three unions, and they expect to keep up with their income along with everyone else. And the result is you begin to see these funds eroding because these numbers are starting to go up rapidly. And the $7 million that would be raised by this utility fee really are to underpin that ending fund balance. It doesn't contemplate substantial new programs, substantial addition of police officers or firefighters. That's really the payroll tax.
All right, we're going to have to take a break.
Okay.
All right, that'll be, but we want to come back. We want to talk about the counselor from Ward 7 leaving and plans to fill that seat for the interim before a new person gets elected and some of the successes. And you're going to want to know when you want to ask, what's the Salem doing about homeless and any of those programs working? We're going to have the answer for you right after this. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
To Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne in the studios with us today is Mayor Chuck Bennett, City of Salem. We're talking about the fee that just recently is moving forward, so we should see an ordinance presented for passage here in the upcoming City Council meetings. Moving on from that, though, there was 6-3 vote. Those six people felt as though that didn't need any more public input than they had,
mm-hmm.
right? That it's already been adequately explained and discussed, and it's their job as leaders to move something forward for the betterment of the community. I'm pretty sure those are the same six people that thought 12 years of conversation amongst many, many jurisdictions wasn't enough chat about the third bridge. But
bada boom. Where's the rim shot?
You know, you're the producer. You're supposed to have all these sound effects.
Hey.
All right. Moving on from that, Sally Cook, one of those members of the 6-3 vote, is departing October 1st to take care of her family after the untimely passing of her husband. So we wish her well. But there'll be a vacancy. So all of Ward 7 will be unrepresented unless the city council fills that with an interim counselor. Because we don't have time for a quick election, right? There's no special election. We have to wait for the next election.
Right. And the next election will be in May. And at that point, it's an odd way this works. That person becomes the nominee. Their name goes up on the November election, and they take office in January. So the person appointed will be in office as a city councilor until January. Unless they decide to resign and let the person that wins the election take the seat, or
which sometimes happens,
it does.
It sometimes happens.
Now, if they feel January, like in like 3 months, or January a year from now.
January a year from now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so that makes a difference.
It does make a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah. So the person filling the seat, hopefully, and you may not know because it's an experience that not everybody knows what they're getting into, whether or not they intend to just be a placeholder and serve for 15 months
mm-hmm.
or be a placeholder and just serve until May determines who the next elected counselor is and they could step down.
Right.
Because many of us, myself included, got sworn in after a May election because there was a vacancy.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So you do anticipate filling it.
Yeah. In fact, we have approved or in the process of approving a questionnaire that will be available, an application form includes a series of questions that will inform the council on people's reasons for mm-hmm. being on the council, their experience with city government, the kinds of activities they've been involved in here in Salem, sort of giving a general resume of their interest in the office. and a commitment that they understand how much time is involved here in terms of serving. And that's going to be available, I think, within the next week. Folks can call the mayor manager's office, get a copy sent to them of the questionnaire. I think it will also be online. We do expect that people will fill it out and return it to the mayor and manager's office. Make sure everybody who's applying at least has been to City Hall once.
Yeah. So has there been any talk from the council president or other councilors in terms of, is there a preference if they want to nominate someone who's a declared candidate and says, hey, I not only want to sit here, but I want to run in May, versus sometimes they like to have a person who is filling in and says, hey, I won't be part of the political election process in the spring?
There's been no preference discussed on that issue as to whether or not the person plans on seeking a full term of their own. And I don't anticipate that will be it could become a factor during interviews if the council determines that they would like to have interviews with each of the candidates. And that may, I think that just depends. And I don't think that's a predetermined decision. There's real arguments on both sides.
So since we have you here for our inside look here on Newsmakers, Mayor, we know, of course, there's from the news, there is one declared candidate who's already declared that they want to run for the seat in May. We'll anticipate that he'll throw his hat in the ring. Are there other names of individuals that you've heard are considering sitting there?
Well, I've had a number of inquiries, but at this point, I'm only aware of one person who's pulled papers to get a petition in order to seek election to the position.
Oh, but we're just looking for gossip, Mayor.
I know you are. And I'm not sure any of the people who contacted me expect me to go on the radio and announce their candidacy at this point.
Oh, that is definitely not fun.
But that would be great inside scoop.
Oh, wouldn't it? But who's thinking about it out there? A lot of people, I think, will stop and think about, would I like to serve on the city council? They're doing some kind of due diligence on how much time's involved, on whether the council expects them to run for office, that, you know, they're suddenly signing up to try to serve 5 years instead of four, and things like that. And there's a what's good, I think, is people are very thoughtful, I hope, are very thoughtful about this. This is a real serious commitment of your free time to be on the city council. And I would estimate that you're looking at generally about 20 hours a week and more, depending on how seriously you take the job. But just the reading and then the learning curve. I think a lot of people think they fully understand what a city councilor does and how the city operates. One of the things I'm pretty sure we'll be looking for is experience, some experience on a city board or commission, whether these folks often come from a planning commissioner position, a member of the budget committee, some other, particularly if the council's choosing, they're going to look for someone who can kind of hit the ground running. Involvement with their neighborhoods, or at least a knowledge of the neighborhood associations that are in their ward, is often really a determining factor. I think if someone's coming at this absolutely cold, it takes a while to really get up to speed, and the expectation is they will be able to come in and start voting literally the night they're appointed.
Ooh, boy.
They will be expected to start voting on issues, and that takes some skills that not everybody has acquired. This isn't everybody's cup of tea.
Sure.
Or we'd have more contested council races and a lot more people showing up at city council meetings.
Brent, you've been on some of these things, and you were a city councilor. Were you up to speed when you hopped in there?
No, actually, I was a little surprised because they did win the May election, and I knew that they wanted, and there was a vacancy.
Yeah.
And the vacancy came during the spring, so it wasn't a big gap of time like the mayor is facing right now. So I knew that they had planned to appoint the person that won the May election. I didn't know it was the following Monday.
Oh,
like election, you know, election's on Tuesday, and then the following Monday I was sworn in. I'm like, oh, really? And
yeah.
Fortunately, you know, the staff was great and did a serious, you know, hand-holding, but introducing all of the department heads and their roles, and the city attorney is very involved in explaining what you can and cannot do, can you cannot say, and some of the things to keep you out of trouble.
Legal
right?
stuff.
So yeah. Then, you know, that's really eye-opening. As the mayor said, that's quite a learning curve. So I was just looking up while the mayor was speaking the ward map and wanted to make sure you understand. You may want to be a city councilor, but we're only talking about Ward 7. And Ward 7 is Southwest Salem. So if you're at South Block Apartments, actually... what's the medical at Commercial and Mission? It's about where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
And you drive down Commercial Street. It's everything on your right, folks. It's everything on the right. So if you live in Salem Heights area or Candelaria area, if you live in Illahi area, Sunny Slope area, and, of course, Kirsten Mountain,
mm-hmm.
any of those neighborhoods and neighborhood associations is where Ward 7 is. And so it has to be a person that resides there.
Yeah, there's really only two... absolute requirements to serve on the city council. You have to be a registered voter, and you have to live in the ward you're seeking to represent.
Oh, registered voter. That's right.
You do have to be a registered voter.
See, people, there's a reason to register yourselves with a man in addition to making sure that you participate in the process. But registered voter and live in Ward 7. All right. That'll be, I mean, it's going to be really interesting. And it's going to be interesting to see how many hands get raised.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And who really decides to step up and seek it? I think, I'm sure there will be a surprise or two as we go through this process. And I'll be glad to talk about who's applying as we not give any opinion. I really don't have an opinion at this point, but I'll look forward to who's applying and be glad to share that with you as we see that developing.
Well, it's not going to be me. I don't live in Ward 7 anymore. I did register to vote. Okay. Really quickly, because I talked about this before the break, can you give us an idea that the programs that you've been participating in, the city's been participating into housing some of the homeless and getting placements for them? There's some progress there, right?
Yeah, there is. 3 years ago, about when I came into office, I gave my first State of the City and announced that we were going to be doing what we called the Housing Rental Assistance Program, anticipating we would house the first year 100 of what are referred to as the hardest to house.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people who have been homeless for about 10 years or more. They have often medical or other mental health or other kinds of issues that they are dealing with, and part of the reason they're unhoused. We got a report last night that we are now serving or have served 237 of the hardest to house. The chronically homeless is another way they're referred to, that we have found them housing. We have services that are assisting them out of the issues that have resulted in them being unhoused. We also are in the process of working with an additional dozen, well, actually more than a dozen landlords that are interested in participating in this program.
That's incredible, because that's always been... you know, an obstacle. Finding
yeah.
a landlord who says, yeah, I'd like to bring in somebody who's been living on the streets for 10 years.
Yeah. And yeah. No, it's these people are absolute heroes in my mind. They are taking part of their life investment and putting it on the line in dealing with what is a chronic community issue, the homeless. But we're really making progress. We're changing people's lives. I went to the first graduation of Housing Rental Assistance Program clients recently, and it was really moving to have people come up and talk to me about how this has absolutely changed their lives, brought them back into a more mainstream situation that allow them to have a place they live, a place they can cook, a sense of dignity that I think they had lost as a homeless person. And I think it's really, I have believed all along that what it's called a housing first model, and with the wraparound services, that was the way to go in dealing with the homeless problem, not setting up a tent city in your neighborhood that really becomes essentially a cell block in your neighborhood. I mean, we often hear about these models of, well, no, we'll have a place where it's self-governing and people will live in tents. Well, what you've done is essentially create
a commune,
a homeless camp. that is still unhoused people. What we're doing is moving people back into housing, that we're giving them the ability to move ahead with their lives after what has been a really difficult, often undignified lifestyle. And I believe, at least as it was explained to me by the individuals who've graduated or are involved in the program, a real sense of dignity, that they have really turned their lives around. And I am a real believer in this approach rather than some of the quick fix ideas we've seen attempted in other communities and really unsuccessfully.
Do you have a couple more minutes?
Yeah.
To share with us? Well, let's take a break because there's something I want to ask about this plan and this initiative. And does it have legs? And is it going to survive this mayor and his term? So stick with us. This is Brent DeHart. We're talking to Mayor Chuck Bennett of the City of Salem. Dave Bourne, let's come right back on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart. We're talking to Mayor Chuck Bennett. And we're talking about some of the success with the homeless programs. And this is a collaborative program, Mayor,
yes.
Right?
So
when
yeah.
you say wrap around, and I was amused because the acronym for the program is HRAP.
I know.
It's wrap, and it's wrap around services. Let's explain that. That means we just don't want to grab four walls and a roof. We need mental health services. We need medical services. We need counseling. We need job placement and job
That's
training.
Correct.
And we do all of these things to wrap around an individual so they have all the resources that they need to be up on their feet.
These are folks who have, as I said, they're chronically homeless. They have been homeless for such a period of time that the skills involved and the issues involved are really dramatic. And it does require these services. And what this proves is when you do this with housing, with real housing, people, we have an 83% success rate, which is better than the national average in these kinds of programs. And
by success, do you mean you found them a placement and they're sticking?
And they're sticking. And okay. They're staying. They're moving forward with their lives. That's a it's a profound change in their lives. Just moving out of the situation
the street, the park, the mud,
mud, the whole thing into a place to live is a dramatic change.
And over 200 now.
237
in just a couple of years, really. And those are 237 people that are no longer holding a cardboard sign.
Or sleeping on cardboard on the sidewalk, or putting a tarp over themselves, or living in one of the parks, or the various kinds of things. And I tell you, all credit goes to the city's housing authority, which is absolutely committed to this, to the ARCHES program through Mid-Willamette Valley Community Action Agency and the other social service groups that have worked with us with the various services needed, and to the City Council. I really have been pleased. The City Council is absolutely committed to this program. They're proud of this program. They've been willing to fund it. It is one of the programs, I'm sure, adds to the city's revenue problem. It's about $700,000 a year to do this program. But when we ask people in Salem, what are the issues that really have you concerned? Number one is homelessness. And that is a huge motivator that the public in Salem wants this issue dealt with and, I believe, solved. I don't think they just want people parked somewhere where they can't see them. They want folks to have a real shot back at life.
So, Mayor, back to before the break, I was saying, how long is this sustainable? Is this going to change? Let's say we get 8 new city councilors in the next 4 or 5 years or something, and a new mayor and this and that, and it's always going to be part of the budget consideration. Is there a possibility that we'll have a backslide, that some of the people that have found a new life and now have homeless, are those 237 at risk in another political wave of maybe the program going away?
Well, there's always, on the city council, every 4 years, we reelect or elect a majority of the council. The mayor and 4 councilors are up for election. So at any given moment, you can have a change. And probably the most glaring change that folks are probably aware of is we had a majority of the council for 12, 13 years moving forward on a third bridge. The council majority changed and that issue was dropped. That can happen. I don't think it'll happen on this. I think the public is so committed and has told us to remain committed to dealing with the homeless issue. And I believe dealing with it in an effective and humane way, that this will continue. Now, if we hit a major funding problem, I think everything goes up for grabs. What happens if the city actually goes off the cliff and doesn't have enough revenue to put on all of the programs it does? Do you cut police? Do you cut fire, which are the biggest part, about 60% of the city budget goes on in those areas, but you also have parks, library, a myriad of other programs. So, but I think that the homeless program will continue to be part of a real of the core mix. I really believe that that's where we are.
It seems in America we've turned a turning point where this is a new reality, and more people are either going into the lifestyle, they're choosing it, or they're falling through the cracks and becoming it. Either way, I think when you look at many major cities in the U.S., this is a new reality that it's always now going to be a bigger issue than it used to be.
Yeah, and we are not just doing HRAP. We're also dealing with some additional shelter space, a number of housing authority projects, the Yaquina Hall over the old nurses' quarters over at the state hospital is being revamped for homeless folks. We also have another project out on Fisher Road that'll deal with, and the Yaquina will also include a mental health facility. It will have services in place to assist people. And then we also have another project over on Fisher Road of about 40 units. It's about 100 units coming online in the next year or so. And that one will deal with the medically fragile homeless. And that will be staffed by the hospital. They'll actually be assisting us on about, I think 6 rooms have been devoted to that. And these are often people coming out of the hospital homeless and in need of continued care. and they'll come to that.
Before we let you go, Mayor, we're talking to the mayor of Salem, Chuck Bennett. We had a shooting in Salem. We had an officer shooting. We had a fatality inside the Goodwill store in West Salem. I think everyone's read about it or heard about it, or they got caught in the bridge traffic. My wife was encouraging me because she was caught in that. I'm like, please tell them that there's no alternative. If something happens and they need to close off a street, that it was a mess. But anyway, that's a second conversation.
Okay.
But there was a shooting. You know, the remarkable thing about this, Mayor Bennett, is that it's huge news because it doesn't happen very often.
No.
Right?
No, it doesn't.
And it was not a Salem officer that was doing the shooting.
No, in fact, I'm not sure. The Salem police were there in a kind of backup role, as I understand it. This was primarily an action by Polk County public safety officers. And it was one that obviously spun out of control, and it is news. It is very unusual, but it's the kind of thing, I think, for everyone in Salem. We also had some issues over in Northeast Salem for a while earlier this year. Folks understand the real need for our police officers, and I think also understand just how well they operate. This is it's always a sad situation when an officer has to draw their gun and mm-hmm. and shoot, and you really are concerned, I think, deeply with the ramifications of that.
Especially in a place where there's so many bystanders and citizens.
Oh, yeah, Goodwill store. Well, people had to run to the nearby bookstore, Reader's Guide, to sort of shelter in place. This is I can't imagine how frightening that must have been to have guns go off.
Yes, and so if you know, folks, that was not a Salem officer who was involved in the shooting, but the city of Salem's police department will do the third-party investigation as to the justification for using lethal force, which is, you know, commonly the case.
Yeah, right?
So
that is.
Having an outside jurisdiction. I believe it was a Dallas police officer that was involved in the shooting, having to do with the multi-jurisdictional drug force.
That's my impression of what.
All right. Well, we're going to have to take one more break and come back. We're going to let the mayor go. We've got some commentary coming up on some of these items because, I know you all want to know what I think about it. So stick tuned. Well, this is Brent DeHart on Newsmakers, 1430 KYKN.
Thank you.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Green Acres Landscape.
And welcome back to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. I want to thank the mayor for his time, as always. There's always so much to unpack after we speak to a Mayor Chuck Bennett, and things that he brings us up to speed on and gives us the city councilors and a governance point of view. So some of the things about the filling of the position is going to be very interesting. So keep your eyes open. We've been encouraging you all to prepare to run for public office and getting on boards and commissions. So hopefully some of you have.
It starts with volunteering with the local, you know, little groups, right?
Right. Neighborhood association.
Yeah,
that's
where you start.
PTA. Some of those neighborhood associations, folks, are three people with nothing better to do. And some are very active, very knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
And take their roles pretty seriously. So they could always use more good, rational, pragmatic people that care about Salem. So that's going to be really interesting to see how many people raise their hand and say, hey, I'll serve in this vacancy. And if they pick somebody who is already a declared candidate, because that's always controversial, at least slightly, because you're giving the edge, you're giving the power of incumbency over whoever else is running.
True.
So if three people are saying, I'm going to run, but if Reed Sund, who has declared that he's going to run, if he gets the slot, somebody else comes into the race, Reed's already the incumbent. And the mayor and the councilor would have given him that kind of leg up. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing or a good thing, but it is certainly a consideration. The other thing that struck me with the conversation with the mayor when he talks about, these things are forecast, right? They're kind of supposed to come off a cliff, and there's a little bit of knowledge-based cynicism in there with Mayor Bennett. So, well, I've heard we're running out of money in 5 years for the last 15 years, right? And so to the point where he's hesitant to even call it a shortfall, but if you're spending more than you are bringing in, that's a shortfall.
Yeah.
But I totally get that cynicism, which I share. And one thing I want you all to understand is really listen, and they've done this at the national scale a lot, listen to the language that President Obama's, President Trump's initiative, blah, 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 will create this much deficit, this much taxation, this much spending, whatever the category is, over the next 10 years. You almost never not hear it anymore. It's always over the next 10 years.
Right.
So if it's, you know, 500 million or 5 billion, this will be a $50 billion proposal over the next 10 years, right?
Yeah,
this is a $50 billion proposal over the next 10 years. Well, 4 years, 5 years from now, he won't be president. So, you know what I mean? It's always a projection. So you do have to watch. It's like listening to statistics and how they can manipulate those.
Read the disclaimer.
Is it a projection? Is it a reality? Or is it, if this happens exactly how he says it's going to happen and it persists for 10 years, it'll result in this, as long as the entire rest of the world doesn't change. Right? The economy doesn't change. The tax rates don't change. The economy doesn't grow, and so on and so forth. So watch those forecast comments. The other thing that was really interesting about the homeless folks, and we've said it here before, and you might be one of these people, but the mayor and the council is hearing from two constituencies. When the mayor says, hey, our citizens say homeless is number one thing. I mean, I want you to do something about this. There's two different constituencies. There's one that's saying, I want you to get them out.
Right?
Let's put this on two ends of a spectrum of harshness. I want you to get them out. I don't want to see them. I don't want cardboard signs telling, bless me, give anything, blah, blah, blah. I'm a homeless vet. I don't want to see it. I want you to get rid of these people. And then you have people who want to help them out. Do whatever it takes, spend however much money it takes, of other people's money it takes, but help them out. Make sure that they have what they need, get them homeless, give them everything they want, right? So, and there's a bunch of people in the middle. On some people are possibly both of those things. But they're going to hear it from both sides, but it does end up with a collective societal priority that the mayor and the council are getting to do take some action. As the mayor said in the past, and we keep reminding you, this is not a municipal role. This has not historically been a municipal role to do human services.
True.
This has been a county and a state and a federal role. So this is entirely new obligation. This is entirely a new initiative of how to use civic funds to help with a hopeless crisis. So that's going to be really interesting, and there's so much more. With the Fred Meyer boycott, we'll have to hit that later in the week, and the wraparound services, public ARC initiative, lots of things to talk about on Thursday. Tomorrow we're going to have Wednesdays with Denise, and we'll be back on Thursday with another guest. So thank you for joining us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.